Hello, Ed Doolan here, and welcome to the other side of John Walker of the Walker Brothers. Hi, John, you're a New York boy.
Yes, I am.
Talk to me about the earliest things you remember. Do you remember New York? Because you moved to California pretty quickly, didn't you?
Well, actually, the funny part about it is I remember living in the apartment that we had in New York. And I remember that my mother used to talk to a neighbor that lived across, that had like air shafts in the middle of the apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to talk to this woman across on the fire escape. I remember that. It was kind of a weird memory. I was still, probably 3 years old at the time.
That's your first memory, is it?
Yeah.
What sort of an upbringing was it?
Well, I can't really tell you that much about New York because all of a sudden we left New York and we ended up in California. And I always remember my father was waiting for it to snow in Southern California. He said, there's some trick going on here. I know it's going to snow. Of course, it does in the mountains, but certainly not, you know, not where we were.
Where were you?
We were in a place called Venice Beach. And that's the first place we lived. And then we moved from there. We stayed right on the coast. We moved to Redondo Beach. And we had quite a big lot of land. It was very, very rural in those days. And from there, we moved closer to the water again because my father loved the ocean. And we moved to Hermosa Beach. And I spent a lot of years there.
What line was your father in? What sort of work did he do?
He was a machinist. He worked for aircraft companies. And so we kind of always lived where he, you know, obviously the nearest place to where he worked was like where their ancestral family home was.
And was Mom at home or did she work?
Oh, yeah, no, she was at home. And
so where did the music come from?
You know, I that's kind of, I don't really honestly know. It just seemed, I remember being in grammar school, you know, in third and fourth grade and being in, you know, if they had a choir, I was always in the choir. And if they had something musical going on, I think they had music classes, and I think when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, I took up the saxophone, and then I took up clarinet. You know, I was always playing something. And then I think when I was probably about 10 years old, I started playing steel guitar, you know, sort of Hawaiian-style music, which kind of got me started with guitars.
So what took you from saxophone to guitar? That's a hell of a jump.
Well, I was a scrawny little guy, and the sax was too damn big heavy to carry. That was and I had a long walk to school, and it was like, I'm not carrying this thing. Yeah, but I don't know what it was. I think I was kind of probably in my own way searching around, trying to find, you know, something, an instrument to play that I would, you know, eventually settle with.
And the guitar, sound like a disease, the guitar took your interest.
Oh, it did. The funny part about it was it always fascinated me a little bit. I was trying to figure out, you know, what do we do with these things? And my parents, you know, they were always very supportive. You know, when I wanted to try something, they always, you know, do their best to provide me with something to play and things like that. And I don't know, I was... You know, I kind of started in show business, as it were, as a child actor. And I did a play, and in the play, there was a part that, you know, the director said, well, you know, if you could play the guitar and sing a couple lines of this song, we could open this one scene with this this particular thing. So I could play two chords on the guitar, which just happened to be the two that fit the song that he wanted to do. And I think that was my first musical appearance.
Were you aware that you were going to become addicted to the applause?
No, not really. I just liked doing it. I was one of those.
Yeah, but did you like doing it? Did you like doing it because the music was fun, or did you like doing it because you were getting attention and people loved listening to you and they showed you that?
I think probably when I was a lot younger, I think I liked the attention, and I think it kind of spurred me on to try to actually get good at something.
Now, we are going to be enjoying your performances in our area in the next few days. I shall give you all the details in just a little bit, But I thought it might be nice if we heard you on your own doing Just For You. This is you solo, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Where did that one come from? What's the inspiration for that?
It was one of those, it's kind of an, I'm not sure if it's unrequited love or it's, everything I write about has something to do with love, one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely addicted to that. And I think the song is, it's quite a powerful song, you know, and I've tried to record this song a few times and not successfully until now, believe it or not. It's just, I have my own studio, so I get to go in and play a lot, but I finally got the version of it that I think is right.
Let's have a listen and enjoy it. John Walker, Just For You. Just For You, John Walker. If you want to see John working, he's appearing at the Royal Spa Centre at Leamington, and he's going to be there tomorrow. He's going to be there tomorrow at the Royal Spa Centre in Leamington. He'll be at the Prince of Wales Centre in Cannock on Friday coming. And on Saturday of this coming week, he's going to be at the Artrix in Bromsgrove. So I'll give you those dates again a little later on in the show. But it's all happening in the next week in this area if you'd like to go and see John Walker work. John, you're being very modest about being an actor because you were appearing on television with people like Betty Hutton.
Yes, I was. I somehow managed to... there was a television series that she wanted to do, and I got the role as her son. And you know, we made the pilot and everything got going, and it didn't all come to fruition. So, you know, those early years of a little disappointment, but, you know, life goes on.
What was she like? Because I remember, as a kid myself, admiring her tremendously in things like Annie Get Your Gun and one or two of the other wonderful shows she did. Was she fun to work with or not?
Well, she was, actually. But one thing that I even noticed then, and I was very young at the time, she was totally professional about what she did. And because she was, kind of everybody else had to be. And it was odd. It's kind of a little short story, but there was a little dog on this show, too, as part of this family that she was sort of more or less the head of. And even the dog behaved. You know, it was just kind of like everything was under control.
You also were giving guitar lessons to some people who were going to be very famous.
Yes, that was as life went on. And I got more interested in guitar. I learned more. I had a band and I was playing, and, you know, this is when I was about 17. And I met this fellow, David Marks, and he said, you know, I really want to learn how to play guitar. Would you teach me? And I said, well, you know, I'll try, of course. And we were friends or became friends, I should say. And I started teaching him. And then one day he said, you know, I've got a friend of mine who lives across the street, and he plays a little bit, but he could probably do with your help. And I said, okay. So I went over to meet the family next door, and it was the Wilson brothers. And Carl Wilson, you know, he'd been playing a little bit, but he was kind of like, you know, as things go, there wasn't really very many avenues or any very many places to go to learn how to play rock guitar in those days because, well, nobody taught it to start with. And, you know, it was, you either learned it by trial and error or you didn't learn it at all. And or you learn from people, you know, from watching people and things. So Carl became my pupil, and it was kind of, you know, fun because he progressed. And it's I always have some fond memories of my band always worked a lot. And I remember sometimes when I'd have the problem of not being able to be in two places in one, I'd call Carl and say, hey, listen, can you go play over at this place for me because I can't get there? And, you know, he would sort of duly step in and take care of business. So that was a good thing.
And from that came the Beach Boys.
Yes. And another story that's just kind of interesting is, like, when the Beach Boys actually had just written and sort of put together their first song that they were about to record, it was a song called Surfin', and they came over to my house and said, okay, we want to play this for you, and you tell us what you think. And they played the song for me, and I thought, you know, it wasn't my style of music, but it seemed like it would be something that would actually quite be quite commercial, you know, if it was, you know, if it got played. And the funny part about it was that was their first hit. You know, it was.
Now, how did you get from where you are, giving lessons, and you're interested in radio and all that sort of thing, from where you are to the actual Walker Brothers? Because there were a number of steps you had to take.
Well, it basically started with just playing in bands and playing clubs in Hollywood. And I met Scott. I had a band that had a residency in this club. It was a kind of like teenage nightclub kind of place. And they used to have these guest artists come in on the weekends and things. And as I was a house band, I ended up backing a lot of people. But sometimes they'd have a band come in. And one time, one of the bands that came in was a band called The Routers. And Scott was the bass player in that band. And unbeknownst to me, I'd met him several years before, but we hadn't actually worked together. And he called me up after that, after appearing there, and said, "You know, I don't want to do the surf music thing anymore. I'd like to play bass in your band. Would that work for you?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, because the group I had at the moment wasn't really all that hot." So myself and Scott and a drummer and my sister got together, formed another band. We actually started working, and you know, we started playing all the clubs around Hollywood. So that was the beginning, I suppose, which eventually would become the Walker Brothers, because my sister left the group and went off to do other things. About a year or two went by, and Scott and I drifted off in different directions, but then we reformed along about 1964. Mm-hmm. And a club owner, we were backing another singer, and a club owner came in and he hired us. And we didn't actually even have a name then. But I've used the name Walker forever. And so when the fellow Gazzari said, "Well, what's the name of your group?" We said, "It's the Walker Brothers Trio." He went, "Okay." And that was it. And he hired us, and that was it. That's the name of the band. And there, things went on from there.
We asked you to pick a few records for us today that meant something to you. And one of the ones you've chosen is, I must confess, one of my great favorites as well, Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. Why for you, sir?
Because I just think it's downright beautiful. You know, and it's such a, you know, it's such a wonderful production, and I just love to listen to it.
You're right, John Walker. It's absolutely superb, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
I still get the same emotional feel from that record every single time I hear it.
Now, in February 65, you decided to hit London. What happened?
Well, we can blame Gary for that. What happened was, we were playing in Gazzari's and doing what we were doing there. The Walker Brothers was kind of like a hard rock band. And Gary had been to England with P.J. Proby. And he said, "Well, one, you have to go to England because it's the coolest place in the world. And two, you guys would probably be successful there." And we really didn't, you know, we wanted to come over and see what was going on. But we didn't, you know, we didn't really have any sort of plans, any definite plans about going. And the funny thing is, before we left, I think it was about a week before we left, we recorded Love Her. And it was completely different style, just absolutely, just a 180-degree turn from what we were doing originally. And when we came to England, you know, we stopped in to see, because we were with Mercury Records in America, and we stopped in to see the people at Phillips, you know, and they were very cordial and nice. You know, we sort of carried on. And then I guess a couple of two or three weeks later, we got a phone call and said, "Would you like to come in the office? We'd like to have a talk to you." And they had the tapes from Love Her. And they said, we think we can release this here, and we think we'll probably, you know, it could be successful. You know, can you guys stay over, and what would you like to do?" And, of course, you know, we were basically came over as visitors. We didn't actually have work permits or anything like that. And they sort of took care of all the problems. The record came out, and it was a hit. So that kind of was the beginning of everything.
And you had quite a few hits after that.
Yes. Yes, we did. But, the, you know, the thing that's interesting was it was in a totally different style than we started with. So, but that was okay with everybody, though.
What is some of your earliest memories of being in this country?
Mostly that it was so different. You know, I was, the California surf guy. And all of a sudden I'm in London, and it's like, you know, cold and drizzly and raining. And there's, you know, it was just, just really different from what I expected. And it took a while for it to grow on me. I wasn't really sure for quite a while. And the odd thing was, is I'd go back to California and I'd hang around there for a while, you know, like just see my family or whatever, and come back to England. I go back to California, come back to England, and I find myself when I was in California feeling more homesick for England than I was for California. So I guess I got the bug there.
See, when you first came over here, we didn't even have Radio 1, did we? We didn't get that till you'd been here a couple of years.
Well, I know you had Caroline and London.
All the Pirates, yeah.
Yeah, you had the Pirates. And the thing that really did it for me was that you had ITV 1 and BBC 1. And if you had the right television, you got BBC 2. And I thought, they only have three television stations? You know, it's like
That's
really
right.
strange.
That's right.
It was so different.
But it must have been extraordinary working with the Pirates. Did you get a chance to go out to the ships, or did they just take the records out there?
Well, we didn't get to go to the ships, but they had little offices in town. I guess they weren't supposed to have them, but we used to go to there,
sure.
Go to places like that with Dave Cash and those guys, and it was kind of fun.
And obviously Blackburn and other people like that.
It, funnily enough, we all kind of, in a strange way, have kind of remained friends throughout the years. Because I see Dave and I've seen Tony and even David Hamilton and just tons of Mike Reed. It's just like these are people I know.
Sure, and it was a very special time, a very special era, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I think the '60s were special, and I think that's why they're not going away. The music, there are stations in America in California particularly, that are just devoted to 60s music,
yeah.
And there's not like one, there's like three or four. and that's, considering you're like in one area of town, that's a lot of radio. But there was something happened during that period of time in music, and, the world just is not going to forget it.
Let's choose another one of yours that you've chosen for us, Aaron Neville. And Linda Ronstadt, Don't Know Much. Why?
It's probably just such an incredible... This one is just one of the all-time great love songs of all time.
Talking to John Walker on BBC WM. John, what was it that caused the group, which was so successful, to decide to go separate ways?
I think... And to be really honest with you, in the end, it's you almost have to do the whole package. You can't sort of pick and choose what you want to do when you're making records and you're having a career in music. There's a lot of demands that are made on you that you either have to be comfortable with facing or not facing. And one of the things that happened with us, I thoroughly enjoy touring and live work. I love seeing my audience. I like to meet my audience. That's part of a really big part of the whole thing for me. And to be honest with you, Scott was really not that comfortable with that. He was great in the studio. He loved making the records, and we had a great time doing that. But actually on the road, it became a little bit of a chore, and to the point where he wasn't happy and really didn't want to continue doing that. And I couldn't really see any point of carrying on, because what would we end up doing?
Was that a blow to you, or could you see that there was life after?
Well, I didn't quite know what to do. I was trying to figure out what would I do after, because the Walker Brothers were so successful.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really follow that kind of success with the same success. But you can have success in the areas that make you feel comfortable and make you feel happy. And I think that I'm finding starting to achieve that for myself, which is a big thing for me, because I've always been interested in engineering and recording, and I do that now. I have my own studio, so I make my records, and I sort of produce and do all kinds of things and play lots and lots of instruments. And I'm married to a very talented lady who plays keyboard, piano, and she does all the string arrangements and things that she did on the Just for You CD, and they're marvelous. And so we have a great time between the pair of us doing that. And now we're doing live shows, and my wife appears with me on those shows too. So, I mean, it's just, it's now the sort of the whole package is really, really making me very happy.
When you all walked away from each other, though, you chucked it all in for a little bit, didn't you? And just concentrated on the engineering side.
Yes, I did, because, you know, sometimes when in doubt, do nothing and you won't make a mistake.
My dad used to say that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to music and the Bellamy Brothers, Let Your Love Flow. Why'd you choose that one?
Because it makes me happy. Every time I hear this song, it makes me happy.
I can think of no better reason. Fair Doolan on BBC WM. We're talking to John Walker. We've been talking about his work with the Walker Brothers and his work after the Walker Brothers. One of the great things, reading about some of the things you do, John, is that you like to be up close to your audience. And at the end of a show, you like to meet the audience. You like to sign autographs, sign records, sign CDs. And you like to be part of the audience and get in there with your fans.
Yes, I do. You know, and I think that kind of stems back from that total pandemonium that we had in the 60s. You know, all these people would come to see us, and they never heard us sing. We never said hello. If we signed autographs, it was because somebody left books in the dressing room. We never got to meet anybody. And of course, now, you know, when you work live now, you've got such great sound systems, and, you know, and I like to work in a little bit smaller theaters, you know, because otherwise you feel like, you know, it's you feel like an ant, you know, on the stage, a million miles away from everybody. And I even have, there's a weird thing that I do. A lot of people are quite happy working with, like, you know, the house very dark. I like to have a little light in the house so I can see the people. I want to see who I'm playing to.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So I don't have it bright. It's not like your living room. It's, you know, it's very dull and very, very subdued. But I like to be able to see the people that, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it makes me feel good.
I see you've chosen a Ray Charles recording, Georgia, because?
Well, Ray Charles, was since day one, has always been a big influence on me. You know, when I very first started making records, this was like in 59, I was listening to Ray Charles. And I used to listen to his way of interpreting things and just the way he does things. And I don't honestly believe that anybody in the world can sing Georgia better than Ray Charles. He says it all.
Georgia. Through 2007, what's your life like?
Can't complain. I can't complain at all. It's good, and I'm happy.
And what are you doing with yourself?
Well, I'm trying to stay busy. I've got another album to think about coming up. I started working on some material for that. We've got another tour coming up in November. And we've managed to get a little bit of time, a little vacation time in here, too, on this trip.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of nice. Went down to Italy and France and Germany, looking around.
Do you find that you approach work differently? I mean, none of us like to admit we're getting older. But do you find you actually approach work differently with life's experiences behind you?
Oh, I think so. There's every time you do something, you learn something. And unless, of course, you choose not to. But and I've been known to be guilty of that. But the other thing is, I think that we try to do things in a much more even style, you know, instead of that helter-skelter life that we tried to live in the 60s. We try to have everything a little smoother now.
Yeah. Just take it easy, do you?
Yeah, but you know what?
Of course, take it easy for you isn't the way the rest of us take it easy. It easy for you is still flat out.
Yes, it is. It seems like I've kind of noticed now that I have a lot of things that I'd like to accomplish, and so I'm really busy doing them.
Well, one of the things I know you'd like to do is meet our listeners and meet your fans. And let me go through it for you again at home, folks. If you'd like to see John, he's working tomorrow night at the Royal Spa Centre at Leamington Spa. And he'll be there tomorrow night, if you want to go along and see him. On Friday, he's going to be at the Prince of Wales Centre in Cannock. That's a nice little gig, I can tell you. He'll be there on Friday. And then on Saturday, he's going to be at the Artrix in Bromsgrove. So, get along and say hello. Get along and see him. If you've got some past records, some vinyls or whatever you'd like him to sign, I'm sure he'd love to meet you. He's probably, I assume you'd be selling the odd thing backstage as well.
Oh, I hope so. And we're going to have some CDs and things. We got the Just For You CD and some, it's got some just things, you know, T-shirts, pictures, stuff, you know, stuff.
And when are you back in America?
We're going back in the middle of June. And we have a few things to there. I need to get started on the new album. Actually, I need to get started writing on the new album. I'm not going to be recording it yet. Mm. And then we're obviously going to prepare for the shows in November.
And where will you be in November?
November?
I mean, will you be in this country or will you be all over Europe or what?
We'll be in the UK primarily. And I think we're going to be pretty much... Where it's not going to be in one area. We're going to be up in the north. We're going up to, you know, Grimsby area, up around that way.
Do you enjoy touring still?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. When I think about it, the tour I just finished is the longest tour I've ever done in my career.
Really?
Including when I was a young 20-year-old type. It amazes me. If somebody would have told me that I was going to do 64 shows when I was in my 20s, I would have told them that they were very, very wrong. You know, and yet I've just done that.
Well, we wish you all the best. Let's go out with Come Rain or Come Shine. And thank you very much, John Walker, for joining us on BBC WM today. I hope it's going to be a great week in our area. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
Come rain or come shine.